Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for being who you are. You are a God that looks down on your children, but you don't look down on us. You help us, Lord, in our times of need. You are ever faithful to us. We thank you, Father, for being who you are. Now, Father God, I ask as I move myself out of the way, let your Holy Spirit take over, that you have free reign over this vessel. Use me for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're going to do. We ask this in your darling son, Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I have to encourage myself, and I encourage myself through song.
So, what was that?
Okay, so if you, this water. So if you know this, join in with me, all right? I have to tell myself why I can trust God, because he cares for me. So I have to sing to myself quite often, and I started doing this messaging, and these songs begin to come out in my spirit. So I'm going to share with you guys, and you all can join in with me as we be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings of love abide, God will take care of you. Yes, he will. God will take care of you through every day along the way. He will take care of you. Oh, God will take care of you. And then I'll go to another song that speaks to my spirit. It says, so I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die, till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. And then this other song came to my mind. It says, I trust in God. Wherever I may be, on mountain bleaks or on the stormy sea, though come what may, from day to day, I know what? My Heavenly Father watches over me. And I say that to myself again. I trust in God. Why? Because I know he cares for me. On mountain peaks or on the rolling sea, though billows roll, he keeps my soul. Yes, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Because my Heavenly Father watches over me. And then there's another one that resonated in my spirit. It said, no, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me. Never to leave me alone. So I can say, no, never alone. Oh, no, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Now, some of you folks out there don't know these songs. That's all right. But I advise you, get a song that you can sing to yourself to encourage yourself so you can know who this God is that we serve. Because my topic for today is God will take care of you. Coming out of Isaiah, the 41st chapter and the 10th verse. I only got that one verse, but that verse is so packed. It says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We're talking about God here. He told him, "Fear not." Why not be afraid? He said, "For I am the great I am." Not just anybody. Not mama, not daddy, not sister, not brother, not friend, not nobody. He said, "I am," and this is the same I am that told Moses to go and tell Pharaoh, "Tell him I am sent you. I am the creator of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth." He said, "Fear not, for I am with you. And if he's with me, I don't have to be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Don't be hopeless. Don't be feeling like you throwing in the towel here. For I am your God." That same I am. He's our God. And as our God, he got us taken care of. You believe that? I was going to sing a song today saying living testimony, but I didn't sing that, but that's what I am. I'm a living testimony. I should have been dead and gone, y'all, but Lord, he let me live on. That's the kind of God we serve. No matter what you get into, what you mess up, God says, "Baby, I'm going to give you a chance to do it over again. Do something better. Don't do it over again. Do something better. Be what I purpose you to be in the beginning of time." Amen. Amen. "Fear not, because I am with you." This is the same God that says in Isaiah 55 and 11, "What I speak, it doesn't come back void. When I say it, it's going out to accomplish what I spoke it to accomplish." He said, "Let there be," and there was. "Let there be light," and there was light. And I'm so glad he spoke, "Let there be light in my dark life." I was in darkness, y'all. He said, "Girl, you walking in darkness. Come on, get in this light." So he called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's where I've been forever. Because when I gave my life to the Lord, I can't go back into that stuff. As he said this morning, "I am a new creation, a new creature in God. Do not be afraid, for I am your God." That's what he said in that verse. Don't be dismayed. Don't be hopeless. I got your situation well in hand. And if you follow my precepts, if you follow my commands, you will walk right. Sister Diane got this phrase. She says, "Walking right and talking right and walking left." We don't want to do that. We want to be what God wants us to be. We want to be obedient to his commands. We want to obey his every precept that he set forth in his word. And the only way you're going to do that is you got to read his word. If you don't study his word, you won't know what he wants you to do. When we first give our life to the Lord, we're babes in Christ. You know, as babes in Christ, there are things we have to learn. We have to learn how to first start off with pablum, you know, that soft food, because you don't have any teeth yet. But then as you grow and teeth begin to grow in, you know, you can take on a, start eating mashed potatoes and rice and all that stuff, you know. But before that, you have to eat soft food because you can't digest and you can't chew up the food. And pretty soon you become a teenager and adult where you can eat steak. Now, I love steak. I've been eating steak ever since. No, okay. But I got off the subject now. Went and chased a rabbit hole there. But God wants us to know his word. We need to know that our situation is temporary. Don't get on your problem and think that it's going to stay with you forever. That's what he was telling the children of Israel in Isaiah, the 41st chapter. They had gone into bondage, but he was trying to tell, it's not going to last forever because I got your back. I'm going to bring you out. God wants us to remember when you pass through the waters, as he said in Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. So look at the river in your life, or the waters in your life. I can't swim. I know it's a thing in my mind that I can't swim, so I'm afraid of water. And when it starts to go over my head, I panic. But God says, think about that water that I parted for you so you could walk across on dry ground. And I thought about it. That's what happened with the children of Israel. They walked across on dry ground. They didn't have to worry about that big sea coming over them and drowning them, or them even having to swim across. God made a highway. You know what? I think he put some tar down there, asphalt down there, so they could walk across smooth. You know, because that's God does stuff good. You know, he don't do nothing haphazard. And they walked across on dry land. So think about in your life how God can take your problem and turn it into a pathway through the waters. You don't have to worry about them drowning you. You don't have to worry about the, you know, rivers. I don't even like to go by the river, you know, because rivers, you know, they get to sweeping stuff. You know, you get caught off in that river, and the next thing you know, you swept down the river. Yeah, look at the floods we've had here. We've had people that swept away in cars that have drowned in the water. God says he won't even let that touch you. It won't overtake you. So think about what God said in his word, and that way you remember and know who he is. He'll take care of you. Then he said, I won't even let the fire burn you. Now, those of you that have tried, like I did as a child, sticking my hand near the fire, and they tell you, don't do that, baby. That's hot. You burn yourself. And then you get burnt. See, I got scars. So, you know that's hot. But when you get in a situation where the fire is really hot, God says, I'll fix that thing so you won't even get burned. I don't want a burn scar. I don't want a burn scar. I got one on my leg that's been there for almost 60 years. But I don't want another one, you know. So God said, not only will I take care of you, I'll fix it so that you won't even get burnt when you go through the fire. Then he said something that I really love. He said, I will strengthen you and help you. And 2 Corinthians, Paul said, I went 3 times to the Lord with this problem. And he would not cure me of this problem. He wouldn't take it away. And it, Jesus said, that's because my grace is sufficient. You don't have to worry about that. I'm still going to help you through it. I'll strengthen you in your weakness. I'll strengthen you. I won't leave you out there where I look at the bodybuilders and how they lift those weights, you know, and they have somebody to hold them up as they're bench pressing. And you think, oh, they're cheating. No, they have somebody that's helping them to bench press, but the person is actually doing the weight work. But that person is there to help them in case they stumble, they fall, the thing slips, all right? That's what God, he strengthens us, but he won't leave us. He'll help us as he strengthens us. That's why he said, when I'm weak, I'm strong in the Lord. Cherish your weakness. God can do something with your weakness. When you become weak, you realize you're not doing anything anyway. It's all God. It's him. We need our weakness to remind us we are not God. We are his children. Thank God he loves us enough to help us in our weakness. So he'll give you strength and will stay there to help you. And then he says something that this is my favorite part of the scripture. I use this all the time. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I'm like, whoa. That means he won't let me fall. Even when I slip, he won't let me hit the ground. Sometimes we should have hit the ground hard, but God held us up with his righteous right hand, his mighty right hand, his right hand that shows us justice, that shows us faithfulness, that shows us protection, that shows us security. That's his right hand. And he upholds us with that. So as a child of God, you don't have to worry about hitting the ground. You don't have to worry about that. He's not going to let you do that. If you stumble, he'll pick you up. If you start to fall, he won't let you hit the ground. God is so awesome. I was thinking about the song. I'm so grateful. I'm mighty grateful. I'm grateful. I'm not singing that one. Mighty grateful. But when you think about where God brought you from, what he's done in your life, how can you not be grateful? You think about what people have done in your life. God put people in. We were talking about that the other day. I did not raise my daughters. I was a single parent, but I didn't raise them myself. God put people in my path that were good, that helped me raise these girls. But even if he didn't, he did it. I didn't do it. God did it. And because he did it, I'm grateful. You know, there's no telling where we would be if God had not intervened in our lives. I don't know about you, but I look back and I think, I can trust God. Because he's never failed me. He's never let me down. He's never slipped up. He's never said he was going to be there and didn't show up. He never said, I'm going to do this and didn't do it. God is faithful to his promise and to his word. That's some things that don't change. God and his word, they don't change. They're still the same. So if he said it yesterday, it's still good today. If he says it tomorrow, it'll still be good. God does not lie. He's not like man, right? So he'll give you strength and stay there to help you with it. He will uphold you with his mighty hand. And so eventually we get to a point where we can say, great is our faithfulness. Oh God, my Father. When you sing, great is your faithfulness, his faithfulness to me, not just to you, but to me. I had to make this personal. I'm sorry, guys, but this is my sermon to me. God is preaching to me today. Ooh. We're made righteous through Jesus Christ. How are we made righteous through Christ? We give our lives to him. God loved us so much that he gave his only son. I'm coming to the end of this message. And the end of the message is always the beginning with Christ. He gave his son, his only begotten son. You know, some of you out there with 2 or 3 children, 2 or 3 sons, 2 or 3 daughters, it's all right to give one every now and then, but you don't even want to do that. He gave his only, God's only begotten son. He gave him up for us while we were still stinking in sin. We didn't even profess loving him. We weren't even trying to do right. He said, they need some help. Jesus said, I'll go. So he let him come, wrapped in flesh, to suffer for us. Suffer our sins on the cross. He didn't have any wrong in him. Jesus had no wrong in his person, in his mind, nothing. But he suffered on the cross for our sins. God says, go ahead. While they're still down there stinking, you go ahead and do what you got to do. Because you're going to bring them back to me. And with his blood, Jesus shed his blood on the cross for us on Calvary. And when he shed his blood, he covered our sins. He purchased us back. I don't know if you ever, well, I'm sure a lot of you haven't because I'm old. This is old school. But Pastor Combs used to preach about the little bird in the cage. How this little bird was in a cage. And this little boy had this little bird in the cage and he would pick at this little bird every day. Just pick at it. But the bird couldn't go nowhere because he was in a cage. And so one day he said, can I buy that bird from you? He said, yeah, but you got to pay a big price for him. So he gave him the money for the bird. And as soon as he got the bird, he opened the cage and let the bird fly away. That's what Jesus did for us. Satan was over there just picking at us and torturing us and making us feel like we were not wanted, not needed, wasn't worth anything. And Jesus says, I'll pay the price, no matter what it is, to let them go. Set them free. And when he set what God sets free, is free indeed. Where there is freedom, there's liberty. You live at liberty to do anything that God requires of you. You're at liberty to live your life, to live the life that God purposed for you. And he did. He gave us a purpose when believe it or not, when God put the first, said, let there be, he was talking about us. At that moment, he already thought about you. Isn't that strange? You ever thought about that? At the beginning of time, God had already thought about you and how your life was going to be, what he wanted you to do, how he wanted you to walk, how you're going to talk, how you're going to look. God said that, set that in motion at the beginning of time. So who are we that we should ignore him and not be grateful for what he's done for us? How dare we not trust him? We trust him with our lives, trust him with our children, trust him with our families, trust him with our food, trust him with our money, trust him with our car, trust him with everything. That's what we should do. Sometimes we don't. A lot of times we don't. I don't trust him with Johnson's driving, but God is good. So at this moment, there may be somebody out there that would like to get into the trust of God and the benefits he has for you for trusting in him. You got benefits. Benefits they can't even compete with in the world. And the only way you can do that is by through his son, Jesus Christ. The word of God says in Romans 10, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he's the Son of God, that God raised him from the dead. And then it says something real, real cool. You will be saved. And there's a period at the end of that sentence. You don't have to do nothing. You don't have to roll around on the floor. You don't have to run, jump on the walls. You don't have to do any of that. You will be saved. That means your name is now written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You get to go to heaven. You get to have eternal life through Christ Jesus. So at this time, we're going to open the doors of the church. And anyone that would like to come forward, I'm going to pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father God, for who it was meant for. I thank you for who it touched. And Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that as you touch our minds and hearts, as you begin to change things in our lives, things that we can't change, but you can. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would just give someone a word that they would want to come to be part of your family. And Father God, we would just be careful, Lord, to give you all the praise, all the glory, because you said in your word, if you be lifted up, you would draw all men. So Father, we lift up the name of Jesus so that he can draw, and as he draws, we just give you praise. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.